Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to start a conversation about a part of the Ukraine situation I think is dramatically underreported. A lot of people talking about energy prices, and rightly so, the fact that Europe's being cut off from their gas supplies, even as stores there are historically low. Of course, this will affect energy prices. It already is affecting energy prices in the U.S. as well. But as always, here on the Ice Age Farmer channel, I try to shine the light on the effects on our food supply, chiefly because very few people even now are doing that. So right now we need to discuss the fact that Russia and Ukraine are responsible for about one third of the global exports of wheat and other grains, and that those are being summarily cut off from the West right now. In fact, this is obviously a situation that's happening in real time. Those are already being redirected to China, who has only yesterday okayed the import of wheat. To date, they had said, we don't want it. There's a risk that it's got mold on it, would contaminate our supplies. But suddenly, it's not that unattractive to President Xi. He's said, we'll go ahead and import your wheat. So overnight, almost overnight, one third of the global wheat supply has been rerouted from Western countries now to China, which, of course, already had 50%, more than 50% of the world stocks of wheat and other strategic grains. That is on top of the fact that, as we read here from the International Grain Council, wheat stockpiles are at a 9-year low. So this aggravates an already tight supply problem. And let's talk about that. I also, this is breaking now, have just learned that three merchant vessels have been hit by missiles. I find that extremely difficult to believe as an accident in the modern day and age, that you don't just have missiles and rockets flying around willy-nilly, particularly given how much of a surgical strike we've seen the Russian forces deploy in the last 48 hours. So to have three merchant vessels, one of which was chartered to Cargill to carry those grains, like we just said, these are some of the biggest exporters of grains in the world, is not an accident. Okay, this is what I would describe as another direct attack on the shipping industry, and specifically on the supply chain that feeds the world. A lot of people out there depend on these imports to feed their people. Already we're seeing countries like Brazil, which imports fertilizer from Russia. It was only last week that Russia said, hey, don't sweat the fertilizer shortages around the world. We'll be here for you. But all of a sudden, shipping in the Black Sea is coming to a standstill. Indeed, as merchant vessels are themselves attacked. So this is, you know, as this article says, a perfect storm for farmers around the world. And of course, it again further aggravates what Bayer Monsanto had only days ago said when they declared force majeure. We're not going to be able to manufacture glyphosate for at least 3 months now. Well, yay, a lot of people are going to say, yay, that's great, because I don't like Roundup anyway, and boo Monsanto. But the reality is that modern industrial agriculture depends on these inputs to produce, not just the fertilizer, but the pesticides, right? For better or worse, we'd all love to move away. You and I are doing our part in doing that with our permaculture and our backyard flocks of chickens, because we know that if only one in three households added some chickens in our backyard, we would overnight eliminate the need for an industrial agriculture, for the chicken, for the egg industry. It would just be gone. Just only one in three people would do that. Then we would eliminate this highly toxic industry that produces poisonous food anyway. So if we could be, you know, you and I are going to continue to move in that direction anyway. And hopefully this report will inspire even more people, if it reaches the right eyes and ears, to go take responsibility for your own personal and food production, and then the community around you, and so on and so forth. It is a decentralized food system that is the answer to the rapidly deteriorating and, in fact, collapsing global petrochemical agriculture that has been exported by the United States ever since the Rockefellers took over healthcare and food production, you know, 100 odd years ago, and then use it as effectively as a weapon since then. Let's talk about this. I want to add some figures to everything I just ran through, and sources, so that it's not just Christian from the Ice Age Farmer, you know, ranting. This is quantitatively happening right now. The shipping and the food supply is being attacked. And of course, it was Henry Kissinger himself who said, if you control food, you control people. And what we see now is nothing short of an acceleration of the corporate hostile takeover of the food supply, because you will own nothing and you will eat the bugs and you will be happy, is where the World Economic Forum's agenda is leading us. So let's talk about some to all of that here now. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer channel. And here is the Washington Times reporting that wheat prices, and not just wheat prices, had exploded as soon as news of this escalating conflict had gone out. Quote, energy and stock market traders are not the only ones watching Russia's invasion of Ukraine with mounting alarm. And that's really the core message today, is this is not just war in the Ukraine and look at these bombs. It's not just the energy crisis being taken to the next level and, you know, the ratcheting up of the fear because maybe people weren't afraid of some virus anymore. And we got to keep people in a state of fear. Can't let them return to the heart and get creative and find solutions. No, keep them scared. Keep them trapped in their homes. Wheat futures for the spring months were up sharply on commodity markets in Chicago and Minneapolis and in Europe and everywhere, basically, with future contract prices for soft red winter up 48 cents almost instantly to 932. Russia and Ukraine, here's that statistic, combine for about 29% of the global wheat exports, 19% of the world corn supplies, and a stunning 80% of world sunflower oil exports. And so we've seen the seed oil prices jumping up as well. Of course, both of these are going to affect the animal feed prices as well, part of the attack on animal agriculture, leading to what the World Economic Forum describes as the post-animal economy, because we're going to eliminate animals. They're dirty and dangerous, and we don't need to have them. I already mentioned that the wheat supplies are at a record tight level already, a 9-year low for wheat, which is obviously a very strategic grain. And that is why China was more than happy to, once news of this broke, give Putin a call and say, hey, we'd love, after all that time, we didn't want it because of the fungus risk, we'd actually love to buy your wheat, it turns out. So here, quote, on Thursday, just yesterday, right? This is all happening. It's breaking so quickly that it's hard to keep up with. And for that reason, I will ask you to join the Ice Age Farmer Telegram group at t.me/iceagefarmer. There's also some subgroups under there about your gardening and your backyard birds and how to produce as much food as you can, more than you can imagine, because now is the time to do it. And there's tons of people that just want to talk about chickens 24 hours a day. That's that you can find people and connect with them and learn about whatever it is you're hoping to do or struggling with or already great at. Let's just come have a conversation. Quote, on Thursday, China's customs agency suddenly approved imports of wheat from all regions of Russia, giving Putin an alternative to Western markets that might be closed under possible sanctions. So these sanctions, that's not going to hurt Russia. Neither is the energy. That is the West shooting themselves in the foot. Clearly, Russia is one of the biggest wheat producers, but has been shut out of China until now due to concern about possible fungus and other contaminations. The two governments announced an agreement February 8th for China to import Russian wheat and barley after Putin became the highest profile guest at the Olympics, yada, yada, yada. And of course, part of what's going on in the Ukraine is that the military has shut all of the ports. That means that those exports, like we said, between Russia and Ukraine, a third of the global grains supply coming out of these major producers and exporters. Literally, these are the breadbaskets of the world that feed many countries that depend on that food. Countries depend on that food or they will starve. And now these Ukrainian ports have been closed. Ukraine, quote, has suspended operations at its ports following Russia's decisions to close the Azov until further notice. Russia and Ukraine, major exporters of wheat and grain, and ports operations have been suspended. That is what led Reuters to report here. Ukraine shuts ports as the conflict threatens global grain supplies. Quote, Ukraine's military has suspended commercial shipping at its ports after Russian forces invaded the country. An advisor to the Ukrainian president's chief of staff said, stoking fear of supply disruption from these leading grain and, like we just said, oilseed exporters. Global farm commodities trader Cargill has also confirmed that a vessel it chartered, which I believe is the Yasa Jupiter, was, quote, hit by a projectile on the Black Sea, although the ship luckily remained seaworthy and all crew were safe. It didn't sink and can still get out of there. Ukraine is a major exporter of corn, much of it destined for China and the EU. The EU is being strangled right now between energy and foodstuffs. It also competes with Russia to supply wheat to major buyers like Egypt and Turkey. Ukraine's grain exports, here we go, just Ukraine instead of lumping them together, comprise about 4.5 million tons of corn, 1 million tons of wheat, and the rest being of this 5 to 6 million being barley. According to one European grain trader, quote, "The market is struggling to get a clear picture of the actual situation on the ground. Everything's developing so quickly. A lot of fog of war clearly going on right now." Quote, "The ports in the Azov and Black Sea so far seem not to have been damaged, according to the initial shipping agency reports, although they are closed by the military." The trader said the market was looking out for any declarations of force majeure, meaning suppliers will not fulfill the contractual obligations because of these clearly extreme circumstances. Shipping group Maersk said on Thursday it has halted all port calls in Ukraine until the end of February. It has shut its offices, etc., because of the conflict. Another global agricultural commodities trader, like Cargill, Bunge, has said on Thursday that it has shuttered company offices in Ukraine and operations in the Black Sea grains ports, all suspended. Also, ADM, Archer Daniels Midland, has said that its Ukraine facilities, including the export terminal in Odessa, are not operating. This is the shutdown of the food supply for tons of people. It's just staggering. It all depends on how quickly these things are reopened and operations are resumed, but we'll see, right? We'll see. Russia, the world's largest wheat exporter, number one, mainly ships its grain from the ports in the Black Sea, where ships are being hit with missiles, right? So here's just developing right now. Two more ships, in addition to the Yasa Jupiter, which was chartered by Cargill and hit by a missile yesterday, have also been hit by missiles. First, the 1974-built Millennial Spirit was fired upon, reportedly, by a Russian Navy ship 12 nautical miles south of Ukraine's Yuzhny port. That was reported by the General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine, but I also want to quickly qualify that with this statement from Moldova's naval agency, which said, "We don't know where this missile came from." So I don't know if we can trust the Ukrainian Navy, where his alliances, allegiances lie, but one report saying that it's not clear where that came from. Sorry for the excessive scrolling here. The second one that was hit today, a merchant vessel, making the third in the last 30 hours here, was the 2020-built Panamax Namura Queen, flagged by Japan, presumably hit by a rocket at the anchorage of the Yudni port. No casualties reported, but one injury. It's sad to see these are, you know, merchant ships with civilians on board. And like I said, this is not World War II. We don't just have planes dropping bombs hoping for the best. These are precision-guided missiles, and I really have trouble accepting that somehow three merchant vessels within 24 hours have been targeted and hit, even if they weren't sunk by. I mean, this is insane, right? This is you only would see this happen if someone were deliberately targeting these merchant vessels. In my opinion, I'm very clear here. I'm not trying to add speculation and fuel to any fire, but it's just ridiculous to me that, given the kind of surgical strike we've seen deployed elsewhere, that somehow missiles are flying willy-nilly in the Black Sea and merchant ships with grains on them are being sunk, right? That's what you do when you want the shipping to stop and stay stopped and for the time being. And then also here reported is, as I said, that the Cargill chartered Yasa Jupiter was also hit by a missile off the coast of Odessa, sustaining slight damage and becoming the first confirmed merchant ship casualty of war following this invasion. Here it is. Maritime security consultancy Dryad Global has advised all commercial operators to get out of there, right? Just don't need to get those grains anymore. This is the shutdown of the global agricultural trade, again, that feeds much of the world. So here are some statistics on where Russia, on the countries that depend on these exports. I don't think we have time to get into that here. What I want to now just quickly say before we finish up is that India has already, you know, traders around the world and markets are frantically, like we heard from the EU traders, we're trying to figure out what the hell's going on. But certainly there are situations where India is now saying, okay, well, that's all shut down and it's going crazy over there. They call up Brazil to see if they can get soybeans because 80% of the sunflower oil that came out of Ukraine is not going to be accessible anymore. So countries around the world are frantically trying to pivot and figure out, what are we going to do now? How are we going to keep our people fed, our animals fed, our industries running. A lot of these soybean oil, sunflower oil are then used to create downstream products, food, but also, you know, all sorts of things. It's, you use sunflower oil to ship tuna in, the protein supply is under attack. You use soybean oil in the production of innumerable things. We've talked about that before, and I won't belabor it here. Briefly, quote, Brazil's soybean oil exports are expected to jump in 2022, driven by demand from India, who's the world's biggest importer and is now frantically trying to figure out where to source vegetable oils that we usually get from Ukraine, Russia, and Indonesia, according to industry sources and government data. India is very active on the market, again, frantically calling up everyone, saying, can you give me some soybean oil, some sunflower oil? Calling up Argentina, the U.S., Brazil. They're talking to everyone. We already know that last year, China bought in advance. You'd never do this, but they bought in advance the soybeans and the soybean crush from the U.S. before these seeds have even been in the ground right now. China clearly knew what was coming this year. So sunflower oil shipments from the Black Sea region to India are stuck, and new purchases have stalled after the ports have been closed there. India is feeling insecure regarding its traditional trade partners. You don't say. Okay, so when I make that statement that countries are frantically pivoting and trying to figure out how are we going to keep our industries running, people fed, and animals fed, it's not just words. This is not hype. This is a very real situation. And here again, like I said, Bayer recently declared force majeure. So when we have one of the number one fertilizer producers in the world, Russia, now involved with this, and the Black Sea through which they export that fertilizer and other agricultural chemicals, on top of the supply chain disarray across much of the West and certainly in the United States, then this is a real, as the media even says themselves, perfect storm for producers across the world. And to underscore that, here's one last article from Reuters. Brazil farmers are bracing for a potential fertilizer pinch due to the Ukraine crisis. Brazilian agricultural exports may lose their competitive edge due to a scarcity of fertilizer and soaring prices for these key inputs if Russia's invasion of Ukraine triggers Western sanctions on Russia's fertilizer exports, or even failing the sanctions if they can't ship them, right? If missiles are flying around willy-nilly hitting merchant vessels. Quote, Brazil relies on imports for about 85% of its fertilizer needs, Russia being the biggest supplier of the NPK mixture. And even before the Ukraine conflict, fertilizer prices were climbing due to global logistics issues, U.S. sanctions on Belarus, and China's absence from the market. China stopped selling fertilizer last year. Again, they knew it was coming. They wanted to keep their domestic supply and starve out the rest of the world. This is the second part of that plan. The Ukraine crisis means Brazilian growers of soybeans and other ag commodities are potentially in for a rough time. Not to mention, again, the rest of the countries that depend on Brazil, who's one of the top three producers of soybeans and other agricultural commodities, and then exports them to the rest of the world. So it's not just Brazil freaking out because they won't be able to grow. It's the whole world saying, okay, the Black Sea has missiles flying everywhere. Brazil is being starved of the fertilizer, which allows them to feed us off. The U.S. is just, you know, I don't even have words for the situation in the U.S. right now. Quote, it is the perfect storm, according to one analyst with AgriInvest. Quote, Brazil has the most to lose among the world's largest producers of soy. The situation is raising doubts about whether or not Brazil can actually get their soybean crop out of the ground as costs may become prohibitive, which is, of course, the plan. This was all described long ago. We're going to make it economically infeasible for farmers to operate so that we can roll forward, we can fail forward into the technocratic food domain of all the nonsense we've been hearing about, right? They don't even try and make it appetizing because they know they've got a plan to make sure this is the only options we'll have. These crickets and plant-based burgers and vat-grown tuna. They're not even trying. Vat-grown? It was better off when they lied and said it was clean meat. Now it's just straight in your face. Vat grown. You're going to eat it. You're going to love it. You're going to own nothing. You're going to be happy. It's really ridiculous. So this last 48 hours has truly been an escalation of the severity of the growing food crisis around the world. I'll just remind you that it was only a few weeks ago before this happened that, according to AgWeb's survey, there was already the case that by far more than half of the farmers they interviewed were unable to get the inputs they need to grow the food to feed the family that industrial agriculture is farming. It's at times like this that I will remind you, we don't really need industrial agriculture. And I don't want to hear that you don't have space to grow food. You need to get, this is not the time for excuses, right? This is the time to get creative. I love things like this, whatever you can fit on your apartment balcony. Like this is go time, okay? We can grow our own food. We don't need industrial agriculture. They need us. This agenda depends on us needing them. And if we walk away, if we run away, forget walk, if we need to run away from this toxic food supply and create now a decentralized food supply where as many of us as possible are growing as much as possible and we don't need them anymore. And that's this whole agenda falls flat at that point. It sounds perhaps counterintuitive to say that some crazy strawberry plants and a PVC tube in on your apartment balcony would be the solution to a technocratic takeover of humanity. But that's where we are, right? The whole agenda revolves around our dependence on their systems. And when we eliminate that dependence, we win. So please get to work, get creative, start growing food, work with your neighbors, grow what you can, barter for what you can't, and let's get off of their systems, get off of their debt-based currencies, get off of their poisonous medicines, get away from their toxic food. This is the name of the game right now, and it's go time. It's now or never. So again, this is all happening very quickly. I will continue posting reports in real time to t.me/iceagefarmer to the Telegram channel there. You can find this report and all my reports at iceagefarmer.com. I do mean all my reports, even those which have been removed from YouTube are still available on iceagefarmer.com. If you appreciate this broadcast, if you value this information, please do help me keep the broadcast running. You can do that still somehow at patreon.com/iceagefarmer or on subscribestar.com/iceagefarmer if we want to get away from Patreon, or a few different ways that I've got listed at iceagefarmer.com/support. And I very genuinely appreciate and need, frankly, your help at this point. So thank you. Let's go get to work raising awesome animals, growing abundant food, and having a good time doing it. Thanks for watching, folks. Be well.